to where we just got through reading in Philippians chapter 3. Happy New Year, a couple of days ahead of time. Put your finger in Philippians 3 and go to the left just a few pages to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. Let me pick up a few verses there and then we'll get back to Philippians. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 21, the Bible said, "If so be that you have heard him, Christ, and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust." That's our old nature, that fallen sin nature that we were born with. And then he said, verse 23, "Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man." That's the new nature that we received at salvation. Which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Put off and then put on. He said, now that we have saved and we're being grounded and settled in what it is that we're to believe, he said, put off the way that you used to live. Following the old nature, following sin, following the world, and put on a different way of living life according to the new nature that you've been given after Christ. Change the way that you live, and in between that, the way that you do that is to be renewed by the spirit of your mind. That's another way of saying what he said in Romans 12, where it said to be renewed by the Holy Spirit in your mind, the way that you think. Have the mind, exercise the mind of Christ instead of the fallen intellect that we have. In other words, exercise faith to arrive at understanding instead of starting with understanding to arrive at faith. Be renewed. And so I figure that would be a good title to use this morning, is that we have a need to be renewed. And now in our text in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, the Bible said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." The one thing that we should all be doing along with Paul here is made up of three parts. Two are negative, one is positive. So we'll look at those three things this morning, and it will help to clarify and help us to understand how to put off the new nature and put on the new nature and be renewed in this new year. Now, this coming Wednesday is just another day, astronomically speaking. It's just another 24-hour revolution of the Earth around its axis. The big event that took place was just the Saturday before Christmas, when the Earth reached its furthest tilt away from the sun on its axis, here in the northern hemisphere, which we call the start of winter. And then it begins its six-month journey to where it reaches its closest point to the Earth. Now, those are events that we can actually see and measure. But we make a big deal out of January the 1st. We count down the hours and the minutes and then eventually the seconds on New Year's Eve before we pray in the new year. which is what Christians do at midnight on New Year's Eve. I hope. Or as most of us do, go to sleep about 9:30 in the old year and wake up in the new year a lot earlier than folks who stayed up past midnight. We then change all the calendars. We take down the decorations. Everything is new. We have a day off from work, I hope most of us. There's a newness about everything. It's time for a fresh start. It's time to reboot everything. It's time for assessing where we are. Let's call it a renewal of life, a tick mark on the timeline to measure our progress of where we are and where we want to be. What does the new year have in store? And in this particular year, what does a whole new decade have in store for us? Can you believe that it's been 20 years since the turn of the century? Anybody remember Y2K? And all the computers were going to crash, and all the electricity grid was going to fall. Well, obviously, the world celebrates New Year the wrong way. They celebrate for a few minutes on New Year's Eve, and they suffer for 3 days the effects of those few minutes of happiness that they thought they were having. So what's the right way? Well, I'm so glad you asked. I'd like to propose an alternative to the parties of the world and the crash diets that follow, and along with the empty promises and resolutions that's made for a new year that's forgotten before even February comes around. And it's called a renewed life and a renewed mind in Christ. And it's all here in chapter 3 of Philippians, along with a verse I'll borrow from chapter 4. Here's three things to do in these two verses that Paul calls one thing because they all go together. You can't leave one or even two apart. All three of them are indivisible. So the first thing that I see in verse 13, he said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. So the first thing here is to forget those things which are behind. Stop living with regret and with the if-onlys. Regret is a lack of trust in God to work all things together for good for His purpose. If your life is in God's hands, then your past is in God's hands. So, first of all, forget your past failed attempts at happiness. Remember, you used to live for happiness. The world's philosophy is, well, what's important is for you to be happy. God says what's important for you is to be holy. And God has an alternative to happiness. It's called joy. You failed at happiness because the only source of happiness and joy and peace is in Christ. Verse 1, finally, my brethren, rejoice in getting your own way. No, rejoice in your human boyfriend and girlfriend. Rejoice in your car. Rejoice in your hobbies. No, rejoice in the Lord. Verse 3, second half, rejoice in Christ Jesus. Chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Take the joy and bring it out of you. That's rejoicing. It's joicing over and over. In the world, happiness is fleeting and temporary because it's determined by relationships. The problem with relationships is you can't control the other person. You can't control what they say or what they should say. You can't control what they do or what they should do. And when you base all of your happiness on having a human relationship, you're doomed for failure. Because it will not bring happiness. Two different people living together in the same place takes the power of God. The more you laugh, the more you're going to be in trouble on your ride home. So I'm just trying to help you here. Your health, your weight, you have some degree of control over it. But to obsess over it, losing weight's not going to make you happy, it's going to make you hungry. You've determined that you're only going to be happy if things go your will. Man, are you headed for misery? You cannot control circumstances, so therefore you cannot control happiness. Joy is unchanged by circumstances or by other people. You may not outwardly rejoice during difficult times, but nothing or nobody can steal the joy and the peace that we have in Christ unless you allow them to. We have joy as well as peace in good times and in bad times. We have a continuous joy because we are continuously in Christ. Now, you can choose to rejoice, or you can choose to act like the world and like you just taken a big bite off of a lemon, or some of y'all a persimmon that's sour. Forget those things which are behind. Forget your past failed attempts at happiness. And then notice verse 2, forget false teachers and false teaching. He said, beware, and notice there's three warnings here. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. Dogs. He's not talking about the four-legged kind, although it would be pretty smart if you didn't know them and they were growling at you to be careful. But he's talking about the two-legged kind. Look at Isaiah, I think, where this is coming from. Isaiah 56, verse 10. Don't lose your place in Philippians. Isaiah 56, verse 10. Isaiah mentions the watchman. He said they're blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. He's not talking about lack of intelligence. He's talking about dumb. They don't have the ability to speak. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. I saw one dog so lazy, he had to lean up against the side of the barn to bark. You know, just, and my neighbor had two dogs, which he was one of them, and he named them Worthless and Useless. Verse 11, yea, they are greedy dogs, which can never have enough. Watch them when they eat. So he uses a description of dogs when he talks about false teachers. These dogs that he's comparing them to, in other words, what Isaiah is saying is, they don't bark when they're supposed to, and they bark when you don't want them to. You know, they start barking at leaves falling out of the trees. And then when the burglars come up, they're asleep under the porch. They bite family and friends, and they run and hide when the enemy show up. They are evil workers, he said. The fruit they produce for all of their labor is wickedness, confusion, division, hurt, the flesh, and worldliness. They claim to be of the circumcision. In other words, they claim to be one of God's people. They claim to be characterized by the cutting away of the flesh, something that's outward, an outward mark, an outward way of talking, an outward way of dressing, an outward way of acting. They want to present the idea that they belong to God, that they're of the truth. Instead, they are of the concision, verse 2 says. Now, an incision is what a surgeon does. An incision means he cuts into. Concision means he cuts away. He cuts something off. So a concision means that they tear apart, they divide, they cut in pieces the church. They create strife and contention and debate, division, hurt feelings, and even bitterness. Most of us have come or have been exposed to false teachers or false teachings or both. They certainly do not produce joy and peace. So why do you keep dwelling on it? What they did, what they didn't do, what they're trying to do now, what the teaching caused, and so on and so on. Forget it. Move forward. Every time you think about it, every time you remember it, you give up your joy and rejoicing. Stop complaining about how you got deceived in the past by someone who was deceived themselves and who wouldn't know the truth if they hit them upside the head with it. Stop doing that. And for heaven's sake, don't give them a platform to continue doing it to you. Avoid them. And thank the Lord that He led you out and delivered you to the truth that you hold in your hands and your heart. Forget those things which are behind. Forget your goodness and abilities of the flesh, verse 3. For we are the circumcision, we are the people of God, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. You see, the Bible gives us the right view of self. We have a distorted view of self. Well, there's a little good in all people. There's not. Now that I'm saved, now everything is good. Everything's right. Stay in Philippians, but go back to Romans. I know that we haven't had Sunday evening service in a couple of weeks, and you're missing Romans. Romans 7, verse 18. And by the way, just when people ask, or you wonder yourself why it's taken so long to get through the book of Romans, is it's not Sunday night is not a Bible study. Okay? I have taught Romans, those in school, in the Bible school know, I've taught Romans in less than 30 minutes. I can do that. I can do that in a Bible study. Okay? But Sunday night is not a Bible study, it's a worship service. And in order to build up your faith, it has to be verse by verse, line by line, precept upon precept, Isaiah says. That's what builds us up. Sunday mornings, preaching a lot of time tears you down. It tears down the false. It tears down the misunderstandings and the confusion. Sunday nights builds us up. Okay, just a little commercial for next Sunday night. All right, while you're trying to find the book of Romans. Romans chapter 7, verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. That's the right view of self. Oh, you say, but preacher, that's not, doesn't do much for my self-esteem. It'll do wonders for your self-esteem if you will esteem Christ better than yourself and esteem others better than yourself. You will have the right self-esteem that you need to have. I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. There's your flesh. I'm never going to do that again. You do it again, don't you? I'm going to start doing this from here on out. You don't start doing that from here on out, do you? Because there's no power in your flesh, in your abilities to serve God spiritually. If you could save yourself, if you could make yourself righteous, why would Christ have to even come? Why would we have to, after salvation, be indwelt with the Holy Spirit and His presence and power if we could do it ourselves? Oh, this new year, I'm going to pray more. I'm going to read my Bible more. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to get control over that besetting sin. And so it goes. No, you won't. Because you're powerless in the flesh to do something spiritually. You're placing your confidence in self instead of in Christ. We are to worship God in the Spirit instead of in rituals, circumcision, confirmation, baptism in place of salvation, or Holy Communion in place of the Lord's Supper, or the reality of His fellowship in our life. All of our assurance and confidence is to be in Christ and in His strength. We just sang the hymn, stand up for Jesus. I like the way you stood up. It's hard to sing that song sitting down. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross, it said. The third verse says, stand up for Jesus, stand in His strength alone. Remember that? The arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own. when you think of the past, not just to failures, but when you look to the past for victories and accomplishments and progress, beware and guard against pride rising up and claiming credit and praise. Verse 4, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinks that he has whereof he may trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Have no confidence in the flesh. Forget those times when you did. Forget your past failed attempts at happiness. Forget your past false teachers and false teachings. Forget your goodness and abilities of the flesh. And then forget about anything that you lost in the past. Verse 7, but what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung. Wonder what that is in the original. Glad we just have the English. That I may win Christ. Count anything that you gained as loss, and anything that you lost as gain. And you'll have the right perspective. What have you gained of the world, of wealth, health, popularity, position, or things that you're not going to lose at death? So what difference does it make if you lose any of it before then? What have you then gained by receiving Christ? Is there any possibility of losing him? Will you lose him at death? Absolutely not. We are rich in Christ. We have perfect spiritual health in Christ. And we're going to have a complete, perfect, and total and complete health at the resurrection. And popularity? In heaven, we know as we are known. Position? We'll be seated together with Christ. Things? We're going to inherit all things with Christ. So, forget about anything that you have lost in the world. If you failed, learn that success comes only in Christ. If you sinned, learn that forgiveness comes only in Christ. What sin did he not take to the cross that you've committed and died for it? What sin did you not receive forgiveness for from him? If you gave into the flesh, learn that you are to only give into the Holy Spirit. If you followed your will in the past into misery, learn only to follow His will into joy. Forget all the hurts and injuries and injustices, and those who did them, pray for them, forgive them, and then move on. Forget those things which are behind. And then he said, and also in verse 13, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Those things which are before you, ahead of you. The future. Not only stop living with regret over the past, stop living with fear and worry about the future. To worry about what's going to happen is a lack of trust in God to work all things together for good for His purpose. If your life is in God's hands, that includes your future. Chapter 4, verse 6. He said, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Be careful for nothing. Remember what the Lord told to Martha when he was there with Martha and Mary. Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore to help me. And Jesus answered and said, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Chapter 4, verse 6, he said, be careful for nothing. Now, he's not talking about being cautious. He's saying full of care, careful, full of care. Don't be full of care about what's going to take place. What does the new year have in store? Oh, we're going to have a hurricane, or maybe it'll be a tornado. We're going to have a flood. Maybe it's a drought going to be this coming next year. What about the presidential election? We've only had, what, 3 years to worry about the presidential election that's not even going to happen until next November. The threat of war. What if a missile comes across? Terrorist attacks. Or personal. What if my husband doesn't come back from the mission trips next year? Or your pastor. What if I lose my health? What if I lose my job? What if I'm a victim of a crime? What if something happens to my children? Folks, listen to me. If you know Christ, none of those possibilities should worry us or even concern us. It's all in His hands, and we are in His hands. Those are the two negatives. Forget those things which are behind. Stop living with regret over the past. Reach forth unto those things which are before, ahead of you. Stop living with worry about the future. Now, lastly, the positive. Press toward the mark today. Verse 14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You have no control over what happened to you and what you did in the past. You have no control over what might happen to you and what you'll do in the future. But the Lord has given you the present as a present, as a gift. You do have control over how you respond to the past and to the future by doing what He's called you to do today. The high calling of God in Christ Jesus that He has placed into our hands. You came this morning and you brought your family to publicly worship the Lord. That's a good start. You come to fellowship with Him and His people, and to be discipled in His word. To sing praises to Him. Nowhere does the Bible say you have to have talent to sing. He said, just sing. The angels will change the sound of it to where it'll be just wonderful sounding, like our choir. You came this morning to pray and give thanksgiving to the Lord for how good He's been to you. To give Him an offering, a portion of what He's given to you. You've come to listen to His voice and in His word and message right now. You're about to have the choice to respond to His invitation. To come to the front and publicly pray for yourself, your family, the lost that you know and others. Then you're going to have the choice to put up your phone and spend time with your family and close friends after church. And to rest your body and your mind to prepare for the week. Keep pressing toward the mark. Next week you'll have the choice of coming back Sunday evening to the teaching. Press forward today to know more of Christ by staying in and reading and studying His Word personally with your family and with your church family. Verse 8, yea, countless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Press forward today to experience more of the righteousness of Christ that you've been given. Verse 9, and be found in Him not having my own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Press forward to today to know many of the promises, to know and experience the power of His resurrection that's available for you to use today as you serve Him. Verse 10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Press forward today to experience more of His comfort and grace in difficulties and in sufferings and in trials. The last part of verse 10 says, and the fellowship of His sufferings being made conformable unto His death. Press forward today to be ready and prepared for the rapture of all the church, or just you personally to wait for it in heaven with the Lord. Verse 11, and if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Press forward today to with the Holy Spirit as He sanctifies you more to be like Jesus Christ. Verse 12, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. And finally, press forward today to strengthen that sure hope that you've been given of the work of sanctification, of conformity to Christ being completed and finished. That's called glorification. When we receive God's glory, 1 John 3 says, brethren, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. That's the prize, verse 14 says. That's the reward. That's the crown that we strive for, that we are headed toward, that we press toward. As co-heirs of Jesus Christ, we enter with Him into His inheritance for all eternity without end. And then this work that the Holy Spirit is doing will be completed. Verse 21, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body according to the working whereby He is able to subdue all things unto Himself. Instead of making a resolution that you're going to do or not do something, get a hold of this verse. Christ will do it, and the power of His resurrection will accomplish what we cannot do in our flesh. Then verse 15, He says, let us therefore as many as be perfect be thus minded. Now, He just got through saying in verse 12 that He was not perfect. He hadn't attained that. Then He says, verse 15, that He is. You see, it's already happened in the mind of God. The Bible refers to sanctification in the past tense. We've been justified. We have been sanctified. Even though we're going through the process, it's a sure thing because we're already seated together with Christ in heavenly places. The work of sanctification, of perfection, of complete righteousness and holiness will be accomplished and it will be finished. And that's what we're to keep before us. The Holy Spirit is going to present us just like Jesus Christ when this work is finished and we receive His glory. That's our high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's the mark that we press closer to today and every day thereafter. Begin every day of this new year and the 2 days that's still left in 2019. Begin each day in His Word and in prayer and in His presence. Begin every week right here where you're seated. Forget what's behind. Don't worry about what's ahead. Press toward the mark and you will be renewed for the new year. Amen. Father, thank You for Philippians chapter 3. What an encouragement to do what you've called us to do, to apply what your word says we are to be. Thank you for these that are here this morning, Lord. I pray, Spirit of God, that you've spoken to us through your word and through the message. Lord, may we not just listen. May we not just gain knowledge. But Lord, may we gain wisdom by applying your truth to our life every single day. Lord, we commit 2019 into your hands. Wednesday, we'll commit 2020 into your hands. And Lord, there's still 2.5 days left. We may not see 2020 down here. So Lord, whatever the future holds, whatever the past has happened there, we commit into your keeping and into your hands. And so Lord, today, right now, as we're seated before you, we commit ourselves and today into your hands and into your keeping. Lord, would we focus on what we're to be doing today to accomplish your will, to follow the leading of your Holy Spirit, to do what you've saved us to do, and to be what you've saved us to be. Lord, if somebody has never been born again, may today be the day of salvation. May today you open up their hearts to turn from their sin and to turn to you in faith and belief that what you did on the cross, you did for them. What sins you took to the cross, it was their sins. You died in payment of those sins. You were buried for 3 days, 3 nights, and you rose from the dead without those sins. Lord, to sit at the right hand of our Father, interceding and waiting someone to call on you, to save them, to forgive them, and to come into their heart and life. Lord, for your people that are here this morning, may we be renewed in the spirit of our mind by the Holy Spirit that indwells our human spirits. Lord, may this year that's coming up be a year of spiritual victories in our individual lives, in the lives of our family, in the lives of our church family, and then in the lives of Christians around the world. Lord, we thank you for the manna that you've supplied up until this time. But Lord, if any of the manna was stored until the next day, it bred worms and stank. Lord, our past blessings, the past victories, Lord, we can't store up. Lord, today's a new day. Lord, we need your power. We need your blessings the same as we did yesterday. We need your power. We need your blessings this next year the same as we did this year. Lord, can we start over this morning? Can we reboot our lives and begin to do it according to your design, according to how you said to do it? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.